This is not, as Karl Marx put it, the opium of the people, where you're supposed to surrender your brain and surrender your mind and become a zombie. No, this is not something about trying to get you to join a church or join a denomination or join a Christian institution. No, this is the testimony of millions of people around the world who have discovered the peace and the joy and the purpose for life that can only come from that great exchange. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul? This is the most important question, and I pray to God that will haunt every one of us until we satisfactorily answer that question.
What does it profit a man? That's the title of today's message from Dr. Michael Youssef, your teacher here on Leading the Way. Now, before Michael begins, let me take just a moment to tell you how to get in touch with us. You can call, you can click, or you can write. Our toll-free phone number is 1-800-337-5323. Or on the web, we're at leadingtheway.org. And if you'd like to write a letter, we love getting those. Our address is Leading the Way, Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325. Well, Dr. Youssef's message is one that deserves your full attention today, so you can answer Jesus' question honestly. Here now is Dr. Michael Youssef to begin.
In the Bible, you find some very important questions. These questions are asked by God, and God does not ask a question, does not know the answer to, because God knows everything. In fact, in every case, God asks this question as a method of communication with us humans in order to force us to face reality and be confronted by the truth. Today, I'm going to look at some of these questions that God asks in His book. But there is one question that stands over all questions as the most important question for anyone who has ever lived on the face of this earth. Every human being, it is not one of the most important questions, it is the most important question of life. And Jesus asked that question in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Here's what He said. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange of one's soul? This is the most important question that any of us will have to face in life, that any of us must answer. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his own soul? Christ alone could ask that question of every human being that's ever lived. Because after all, He created us. Christ alone knows the value of the human soul. To Him, the human soul is so important that He left the splendor of heaven and the glories of heaven, and He became man. It is the value of the human soul that caused the Creator of all the earth to come and become homeless and poor and sweat blood and be beaten until His flesh was torn and be slapped until His body was black and blue. It is the value of your soul that caused the God of power and might to hang helplessly on a cross of Calvary and then rise again on the third day. But the question that most people have asked for 2,000 years, this is not a modern question. For 2,000 years, people ask the question, but why? Why did God have to leave the splendor of heaven and the majesty and become a man? Why? Why didn't God just yell from heaven, hey, folks, do your best. Try to reach me by doing the best that you can. Try to please me by doing more good than bad, as many people want to think. They really do. That's their idea of God. That's what they want God to have done. They do not understand why would God leave heaven, come to this earth, live the poorest of the poor, die on a cross, rise again. They don't understand. And the reason for that is because we human want to see things from our point of view. We don't want to see them from God's point of view. And the most important thing for you today to do is to see things from God's point of view, not our point of view. Here's the problem. God is perfect. And only perfect people can approach a perfect God. Only perfect people can come to His heaven. We got a dilemma on our hands. None of us are perfect. None of us can be perfect. I'm told that astronauts who go to space must have a space suit, or else they are toast. And in the same way, from a spiritual perspective, that's our condition. Without the space suit that only Jesus Christ can give you, we're toast. We're done for. Because none of us are perfect, none of us can be perfect, and yet that's the demand of God. But God is the one who provided the answer. God is the one who provided the solution. The perfect God became man, lived perfectly, so that everyone who would accept Him gets that space suit that makes him or her qualified for heaven. The perfect God carried on that cross the sins of everyone who would come to Him and would receive His forgiveness and receive Him as Lord and as Savior and become perfect in God the Father's eyes. That's the only way. It's the way God did it. Now, my friend, I want to tell you something. This is Christianity in a nutshell. You know all that other stuff? All that religious stuff? Just stuff. It really is. This is Christianity. This is the core of the Christian faith. What is it? That you can exchange your sin with which you're born for His perfection. That you can exchange your sin with His forgiveness. That you can exchange your guilt with His peace. That you can exchange your restlessness for His contentment. That you can exchange your fear for His faith. That you can exchange your doubt for His assurance. That you can exchange your destination from hell to heaven. That is Christianity in a nutshell. I want to tell you something. This is a big deal. This is the best deal you're ever going to be offered. Ask me. I grew up in the Middle East. I know a bargain when I see one. There is no bargain like this one. I can exchange my sin for His perfection. That is the bottom line of the Christian faith. That is the Christian faith in two sentences. But you must understand. See, this is not, as Karl Marx put it, the opium of the people, where you're supposed to surrender your brain and surrender your mind and become a zombie. No, this is not something about trying to get you to join a church or join a denomination or join a Christian institution. No, this is the testimony of millions of people around the world who have discovered the peace and the joy and the purpose for life that can only come from that great exchange. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul? This is the most important question, and I pray to God that will haunt every one of us until we satisfactorily answer that question. Why? Why? Because God loves you. Because He loves you. And because He loves you, He provided only one way back to Him. Now, if you are like me, I'm sure you've heard this false statement bandied about by a lot of people. In fact, bandied by some church people. What's that false statement? It goes something like this. All the ways lead to God, right? All religions were basically different ways of reaching the same goal. That all the ways are going to lead you to heaven. Really? Or if you do some good, it's going to basically obliterate the bad, and you'll make it to heaven. Here's one problem with these statements. They're false. God said they're false. God said they're not true. Because God, from cover to cover in His book, said there is only one plan. There is only one way. There is only one Savior. And as I said, the Bible asks numerous questions in order to force us to confront reality, in order to bring us to the point of understanding and come face to face with the truth, in order to make the decisions that God wanting us to make. One of those questions are found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. In fact, it is the very first question that God asked to our first human ancestor, Adam. And here's what God asked Adam. He said, "Where are you? Where are you?" After disobeying God's command, Adam was hiding from God, thinking that he could hide from God. Here's the important thing. Listen carefully. God could have scolded Adam. God could have ambushed Adam. God could have done anything. He's God, right? God could have condemned Adam and said, "You fool, don't you know that I can see everything? Don't you know that I know everything?" But God didn't do that. That's the greatness of God. That's the majesty of God. God merely asked, "Where are you? Where are you?" Not because God did not know where Adam was. Of course he knew. God is asking the question in order to force Adam to come to face to face with truth. And listen, God is asking you today, where are you? Where are you? Where do you stand toward God? Where do you stand in relationship to the love of God that has been calling you and wooing you? Where do you stand? Why? Why is God asking that question? Because he loves you. Because he wants you to come to a confession. He wanted Adam to confess his sin so that he may have been forgiven. But instead, Adam rationalized and played the blame game. She did it, he did it, well, she, and they started passing the blame game. And we've been passing the blame game ever since. God wanted Adam to say, "Yes, Lord, I have allowed Satan to seduce me and disobey you. Yes, Lord, I have allowed false ideas of who you are to mislead me. Yes, Lord, I have allowed some false philosophies to keep me away from you. Yes, Lord, I'm sorry, for I have allowed my desires to cloud my vision of who you are." And my dear friend, God is asking every one of us today, every one of you today, he is saying, "Where do you stand in relationship to me? Where are you? What is causing you to think that you can run away from me? What is keeping you from my heaven and the assurance of my heaven? What is holding you back from experiencing my comfort and my joy and my forgiveness that is only possible through my son Jesus? What is stopping you from knowing me and knowing me as a loving father? Where are you?" Today, God is inviting you to come to him. God is inviting you to confess. God is inviting you to receive his eternal forgiveness, not to rationalize, not to explain away, because he sees everything, he knows everything. Will you respond to him? Well, the second question that is asked is actually the second question that was asked in the Bible. And it's in the next chapter, book of Genesis, first book of the Bible. So 1 and 3:9, this is in 4:9. It's a question that God asked Cain after he killed his brother Abel. God asked him, "Where is your brother Abel?" God knew the answer. God saw what happened. Again, God wanted Cain to confront his sin. God wanted him to confess his sin so he may forgive him. Because our God is a loving God, but he waits until we confess. You see, God sees all things. He knows all things. But the question tells you something about the nature of God. The question that God asked Cain is the same question that he asked us in order that he may give us an opportunity to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness from his hands. Some of you probably saying in your mind, "Wait a minute, Michael. This guy killed his brother. I never killed anybody. I don't commit any of these big sins." You see, you're seeing things from your perspective, from your point of view, not from God's. From God's point of view, there is no small sin and a big sin. Sin is sin. Whether you miss the mark, God's mark, by 1 inch or 10 miles, you miss the mark. You know that white lies that you tell? They cry to God. You know that money that you took doesn't belong to you, padding your expense account or whatever you do? It cries to God. You know that seething hatred that you have, that you're filled with and you wish somebody was dead? It's a sin that cries out to God. And when God asks the question, He already knows the answer. But He wants us to have an opportunity to confess. He wants us to come to Him in humility. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I desperately need your forgiveness. He says, okay, you got it. That's His promise. I'm not making the stuff up. It's in His book. And only Jesus Christ's death on the cross can bring you that forgiveness. Well, just in case there's somebody still here saying, yeah, but I still think God is really concerned with the big sins. He's not concerned with the little sins. Now, I want to ask you a question, okay? I know there's some questions only Jesus can ask, but I can ask you this one. What was Adam's sin that got him kicked out of the Garden of Eden? Was it murder? He didn't kill anybody. The only other human being there was Eve, and she was alive and well. Got him into trouble, but she was alive and well. Was it adultery? There was nobody to commit adultery with. Eve was the only one there. It's his wife. So what was the sin that caused Adam to get thrown out of the garden? And then by hereditary genes, we've inherited the same sin. It's simply this, disobeying God. Disobedience to God and His word and His plan is the root of all sins. All sins are just the fruit of that one root. God said to Adam, it's my way or the highway. Adam said, the highway. And we've been there ever since. He got us all there until God provided a way out back to Himself. But then there was another question that the Bible asks, and this time is not asked by God. It's not asked by the Lord Jesus. It is asked by Job. Remember Job? We talk about the patience of Job. In chapter 14, verse 14 of the book of Job, Job asks a question, an important one. If a man dies, will he live again? And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came from heaven, became a man, died on a cross and rose again, He was saying to Job, Job, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm not going to answer it in words. I'm going to come to earth. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to rise again to answer your question. And the answer is yes. When a man dies, we'll live again. Not long ago, I was talking to a precious lady, a lovely lady, dear person. And she said to me, she said, I'm deathly terrified of death. And she said, I'm doing everything I can to avoid the subject. She said, I'm so terrified of the unknown, so I'm trying to convince myself that when I die, that's it. I just die. That's the end of it. You know what I said to her? I said, your fear is justified. It really is. It is justified. Because God did not create us so that we may vanish at death. God created us to live forever. Our bodies will die, but our souls are immortal. And our souls can only go into one of two places, heaven with Jesus or hell with Satan. Regardless of your denominational background, regardless of your religion, regardless of your rituals, regardless of your activities, only Jesus can take you from one into the other. In this life, God gives us the opportunity to choose. And the choice we make in this life determines our destiny. The choice we make here and now will determine our eternal future. The choice we make here and now will either make us live in fear or joyous expectations. So what's the answer? What's the answer to Job's question? Jesus is the only one who could have answered that one. And when Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on a cross, and rose again on the third day, he answered the question. Not just in words, as I said, but in action. Where hundreds of people were eyewitnesses to the resurrection and saw with their eyes the resurrected Christ and are willing to die because of what they saw. Those who saw the resurrected Christ, they saw him rising from the dead as an answer to Job's question. His resurrection says, yes, Job, every human being will live again. Yes, Job, every human being will eternally live on. Yes, Job, every human being will end up in one of two places. Which brings me full circle back to that most important question that I began with. What good is it if a man gains the whole world, but he forfeits his soul? See, Jesus asks this question because he knows that our souls are eternal, that our souls are immortal, that there was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you will not be. A million years from now, you will be living either in heaven with Jesus or in torment with Satan. Your eternal existence is sure. The question is, where are you going to spend it? Where are you going to spend it? When you reject a salvation plan, you spend your forever in utter darkness, extreme loneliness, continuously falling into a dark pit. Ah, but listen, here's the good news. He is stretching out his hands to you right now. He's saying, come to me. I love you. Come to me. My son died on the cross for you. He provided a way of escape. And it's the only way that's acceptable to me. Try all the other stuff. This is a great invitation. Will you accept it?
You're listening to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Well, as you know, Leading the Way is not just the program that you hear each day on this station or network. We're part of a worldwide gospel outreach. In fact, Leading the Way has become a resource that many people turn to learn the English language. That's thanks to our dual language format. Now, the dual language format is where you hear Dr. Youssef speak a sentence or two in English, and that's followed by a native speaker in one of 21 different languages heard all around the world. This is how people hear our international radio program. And we find that initially many people tune in as a way to learn English, and then they hear the Word of God. Well, recently we received a very encouraging note from a teenager in Saudi Arabia telling us about how Dr. Youssef's teaching has impacted her life. I think you'll be encouraged, as we are. She wrote, "Thank you so much for the ministry of Leading the Way. Because of sound Christian ministries like yours, we are able to praise God and to grow in God's Word, even when we hear the Islamic prayers being called outside. I may not have silver or gold or money right now, but I sincerely bless this ministry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your ministry has touched my heart. Thank you, and may God bless you beyond what you can think or ask." Isn't that beautiful? Friends, we want to invite you to be part of this global impact. Increase your circle of influence and join us in praying and being financially supportive of the ongoing outreach to the world through Leading the Way. When you become a new monthly fellowship partner, we have a very special gift for you. It's a copy of Michael Youssef's Most Requested, Volume 9. These are the most popular messages chosen by you from 2012. Here's our number, 1-800-337-5323. That's 1-800-337-LEAD. Or you can learn more and partner with this worldwide ministry when you go to leadingtheway.org. That's leadingtheway.org. Well, the music means it's time to say goodbye, and I thank you for being with us. Do make plans to join us once again next time right here for another strong biblical message from Dr. Michael Youssef on Leading the Way. Leading the Way is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.